All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Rental Investor. I'm one of your co-hosts, Spencer Sutton. I have Matthew Whitaker here with me. And we're really excited to have a longtime Birmingham investor, somebody that we've done business with before, Jonathan Mednick. And Jonathan owns a company, is a partner in the company called REI Trader. And I think, Jonathan, you probably have your hands in a little bit of everything when it comes to Birmingham investment. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Spencer. We fix and flip retail properties. Obviously, it's a little bit more challenging now. We also sell turnkey properties, which GK Houses is a preferred vendor for a lot of all buy and hold investors when we sell those turnkeys. We wholesale. I'm also a broker. So we have a brokerage that supports REI Trader. And then we own a fairly good size rental portfolio of our own. And before, you know, this pandemic happened, we were working on building out two developments over in the Center Point, Birmingham area, but we'll see where that goes in the next couple of months.
Yeah, one of the things that strikes me about you is you've been doing this a long time. There's a lot of people that will get in this and they're kind of fly by night. And, you know, one of the things I'll applaud you for is you've been doing this a long time, which to me speaks to kind of your consistency, your quality. Obviously, you've built a fabulous reputation here in Birmingham. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been doing this now 19 years, and I started down in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. And then, of course, went through the Great Recession in 2008. And then in 2011, I had an opportunity here in Birmingham. I made a visit, flipped 9 houses to a group out of LA, and then realized very quickly that there was a good opportunity here, but I needed to be here. So sold the beach house and moved to Birmingham almost 9 years ago and never looked back. So it's Birmingham has been professionally, probably in all my 19 years, the best decision to coming here.
What was it about Birmingham? Because you made an absolute commitment. You said, hey, I'm moving there. What was it about Birmingham that you saw that you thought was a big opportunity?
Well, first, when I was coming here, there was no one else here from out of state moving here. And when I told friends and family that I was moving to Birmingham, Alabama, they were quite shocked. Culturally, a little bit different than what I'm used to being from the New York City area. But I've really embraced the culture and the people here. I remember when I was doing my research that the difference between working in a luxury premier market like South Florida, which is comprised from West Palm Beach down to Miami and Fort Lauderdale, is that you have very limited exit strategies. And the only exit strategy that makes sense was fixing and flipping to retail owner occupants. When I looked at Birmingham, I saw multiple exits. I saw that, wow, it's an extremely affordable city. I could hold properties and get a really nice cap rate. I could sell turnkey properties to other investors. I could fix and flip. I could wholesale. I can do everything here. And that's the benefit of being in a secondary tertiary market. And I think Birmingham, coupled with its mild winters, also supports, you know, the efforts of keeping costs down when it comes to, you know, winterization and freezing pipes and additional insulation. You don't need it as much as some of the other secondary markets that cash flow really well, like Columbus, Ohio, or Cleveland, or Kansas City, Indianapolis. So when I talk to investors around the country and they tell me they're looking at those markets, I tell them, well, you know, expect, you know, higher maintenance costs when it comes to winters with freezing pipes. And so it was all of those factors that made me realize that Birmingham was the place for me to be. Plus, in 2011, when I moved here, there wasn't a whole lot going on. I mean, the landscape, the downtown area is completely revitalized. It's completely different. When I moved here, my first year being a city kid, I lived downtown on the north side. And I thought, wow, great big city. I'm in the heart of it. And there wasn't a whole lot going on, but that's completely changed. So I'm really just happy and excited for not the opportunities for investors like us, but also for the city and out-of-state investors who are now operating in the Birmingham area.
So when you moved here, I mean, you had all these things in your mind. Hey, look at all these opportunities. How did you really start? Like, what was the, when you came into the market in the Birmingham, you didn't start doing all of those things at once.
Correct.
What was the first thing that you did and the reason you started there?
Right, right. Well, since I had a group out of LA, a hedge fund that was looking to buy properties, and they were funding basically the purchase and the renovation costs of the property, I located a few handymen. We were doing really small projects. I mean, rehabs were literally under $7,500 for most of them. We were able to pick up some really good assets at low prices. And it was really just to focus on the turnkey model. I had one or two crews. And when I say crews, it was 2 to 3 man guys on each crew. And, you know, we were starting with, you know, 2 to 3 properties a month. And I knew that at some point, as the market picked up, I couldn't put all my eggs in one basket with this one client. And I knew I need to expand into other areas. So I started to wholesale properties, which I've done for a lot of years. So that was the second avenue I went through. And the third was I got my real estate license. Immediately when I got to Birmingham, before I moved, I studied for the exam. The first week I moved here, I took and passed the test. And so now I was able to access the MLS and all the advantages, of course, you know, that brings was enabled me not only to find properties, but also to get commissions as an agent. So I was making money on turnkey flips. I was making money as a real estate agent. And also I was charging a small fee for project managing of those rehabs. And that's kind of where I started, and it grew from there.
Talk to me a little bit about how many turnkey deals you've done over the course of your career while you're in Birmingham. I mean, if you don't want to give specific numbers, but just give an idea of the number of homes that you're buying annually.
Well, in the 19 years I've been doing this, I've done north of 1,500 projects.
Wow.
Yeah. So in Birmingham, I would probably say it's been maybe about 550 properties, somewhere between 550 and 600 properties. And it was a compilation of a few things, not just through REI Trader selling turnkey properties to out-of-state investors, which primarily most of them were out of California, Utah, New York, and Texas. That's where the bulk of the turnkey buyers are. You probably see the same thing. That was, you know, one avenue of being able to sell those properties. The second was I was brokering deals as well. So sometimes we have turnkey buyers who literally just wanted to buy off the MLS, and I would help them find those properties. I'd advise them. So that was the second thing. And then the third was just, you know, buying these properties and keeping them in our rental portfolio. So I think right now we are, I can tell you as of today, we're actually buying a house today and another one later this week. So we'll have a total of 16 properties that are in various stages of renovations. We just came off of 3 that we just completed. We don't really know what our exit's going to be. We know in the beginning, based on the numbers, if it meets a retail flip or turnkey flip, or if we're going to keep it into rental portfolio, assuming that we get our minimum cap rate. But when we get close to renovations and we true up all our numbers, then we kind of narrow the focus and say, okay, we've really come in ahead of schedule at a lower cost under budget, and we're going to tag this property as a rental. Or we say, hey, you know, there's a lot of money, profitability that we can make if we sold it turnkey, and then we'll go that route. And so I would say typically, you know, we average probably 8 to 10 properties per month on the acquisition and sales. Obviously, now it's a little bit different. I think the market's shifting into more of a bear market, and we'll see how that plays out.
Talk about a typical turnkey deal that you see. I know there's probably not one typical turnkey deal, but just give me an idea of what investors should look for when they're buying turnkey in Birmingham.
Yeah, that's a really great question. When I talk to a lot of investors from out of state, and every month they come to Birmingham and we give them the tour of properties before, during, and after. And the most important thing, there's two things, is I tell them you've got to come to Birmingham and you've got to see properties. And you've got to make sure that if you're meeting with us or other TKPs, turnkey providers, that you feel comfortable with them, that they're just not one guy working out of their car, that they have a significant operation. And you have to do your due diligence. The second is, no matter how good acquisitions are and our renovations are and the sales is, if you don't have good property management, this is going to go sideways. I mean, you guys know on many occasions when I've gotten calls from not so much you guys, but other property managers where they have properties that went sideways and they're just calling to sell the property and get out of it. And typically I've seen some of them when we bought those properties, they've sustained heavy losses and they just wanted to get out of it. So I would say the key is really to make sure that you've got, you know, a good turnkey provider that you've met, you can trust and you know, and they're solid. They've got a great reputation. Do your research, ask for references. And also I would say the same for property management.
You're actually the second person that said their first thing is come to Birmingham.
Yeah.
We keep hearing that over and over, and we say the same thing. One of the things I found about people when they come to Birmingham, they're pleasantly surprised. Probably like when you came up here for the first time, you had this idea of what Birmingham was, and then you got here, and the thing I always hear about it is it's so green. I never realized how green it was, and so people are pleasantly surprised when they get here. Talk a little bit about who is buying turnkey right now. Is it busy professionals? What is an ideal client for somebody like you? And then after that, we're going to start to get into some Birmingham specific areas.
Typically, they're young professionals. They're usually in their 20s, 30s, and early 40s. A lot of them have found me from other podcasts like this, which I've done, through webinars I've participated in, or they've been referred to me. And typically, the initial conversation, I ask them, why Birmingham and what are your goals? And when we narrow down their goals and, you know, what their 5 or 10 year plan is, it's like, most of them are looking to accumulate wealth. They're looking to get, on average, I would say at least 10 properties before retirement. We have several investors who've bought multiple properties or pretty close to hitting those numbers or more. But typically, they're from the 20s to 40 age range of their young professionals. The majority of them are in California because when they find out they can get a $100,000 house here that cash flows nicely, for them, that's renovating their bathroom. So they're absolutely shocked at just the value that they can get here in Birmingham.
You know, I think it's really interesting. Matthew and I we've been pretty vocal with people who call us just about when we're talking to these new investors, and a lot of them are from California and they're asking us advice. We're also very vocal about them being careful and really understanding what their goal is. Like, what is your goal? What is your risk tolerance? And right. I think what's interesting about you, Jonathan, is like Matthew said at the beginning, just your longevity, which to me means that you have repeat customers. Talk to me a little bit about that, just about being, you know, very transparent and actually helping these people as opposed to playing the short game. Because I think so many turnkey providers will play the short game for maximum profit versus, you know, I'd like to have this client for a long period of time.
Right. And that's a great point, Spencer. You just hit on our secret sauce. If investors look for us online or they try to search for us, other than through webinars or podcasts that we've done, if they've just done a general search or they are looking for our marketing or advertisements on, we have turnkey properties available, we don't really do that. We don't need to. The reason is that 100% of the sales that we with turnkey sales is through referrals and word of mouth through our current turnkey buyers. And that is without a doubt has been our success. You know, for us, what's really important is whether you buy one property from us or 10, it's really important that you have a really good experience. They like the fact I'm also a broker, so I'm very transparent. We have a CRM system that walks them through the entire process from contract to closing. Therefore, there's no weekly phone calls or they're not out of the loop in the dark of, you know, where are we at in the process? They have access to the full picture of every action that we take from contract to close, plus all the various parties that are involved and the documentation that's also in a central repository that they can access if their lender is in need of a lease or something like that.
Right.
But the majority of them has been 100% referral based, and that's how we've generated repeat business.
And I love, just speaking from a property manager's perspective, I love the documentation that you give. Mm-hmm. So after the deal closes, if they've chosen GK Houses, you deliver a package and it is beautiful. I mean, like, we don't have to keep coming back and asking for more and more and more information. You've got it laid out. And so,
yeah, I think what's great for you guys is that I think for a property manager is when you have a turnkey provider do all the heavy lifting and screening and placing a tenant into the property. And because, you know, that is by far the most challenging aspect of property management is putting onboarding a tenant. And when we just deliver that to you along with all the documentation, all it requires for you is to get it set up in the system and get it switched over the payments, and you're ready to rock and roll. So, you know, we try to ease that process, and it's a benefit to all, you know, to our clients as well, when they see that we're on top of it. But also, you know, it doesn't stop there, but because on a rare occasion when there is an issue or challenge with property management, I always tell the clients, call me. Obviously, I have both your cell phone numbers if there's an issue, which I can't recall last time a client called and it had an issue with GK. But if there was, then I can just call you guys directly and you've jumped on it. And I think that's been a really major advantage. I think, you know, some of the property management companies, when they don't, especially the smaller ones, I caution our turnkey buyers to kind of steer clear of them because they're just getting started. They're incurring growing pains. And one thing about GK is that you guys have gotten pretty large in multiple states, and you guys are all about process. And you are by far leagues ahead of all the property management companies that I know of, at least in the Birmingham market.
Well, you're very gracious, because we still think we screw some things up. But we, definitely, one of the things we say is if we screw it up, we're going to fix it. So, but I appreciate you saying that about us. I would like to switch gears. I'd like to kind of dig into some areas of Birmingham that you really like, some areas that you don't like. So let's just start with the areas that you think are kind of on the upswing or that you really like right now, specifically around rental investing.
Right. Well, primarily a good majority of our properties we're buying up in the Center Point area of Birmingham, the 35215. We still do. Obviously, there's some challenges with the city of Center Point now instituting, you know, yearly inspections and providing more oversight. But we do so many projects, and plus we have the developments going that Jeff Shadrick, my colleague, business partner with REI Trader, he handles the construction side. He has a very good working relationship with the city of Center Point. So we've been very fortunate to kind of stay on top of the latest developments when things happen. So Center Point has always been really good for us. A lot of investors are a little bit concerned or whether they should continue in that market. The Pinson area, Grayson Valley, is also a very good area for a B to B plus type assets. One area that has really impressed us now is also Southeast Lake. We're not a really fan of the Northeast Lake area for other reasons, but Southeast Lake seems to be us for buy and hold to be able to pick up some really good assets. So we are moving quite a bit to pick up quite a bit of properties over in the Southeast Lake area, which is 35206, and it's just north of downtown. So Bessemer, Hueytown area is a great area. That's about 18 miles south of downtown. That's where, as you gentlemen know, with the Amazon Fulfillment Center opened up. And so there are a lot of investors that are certainly buying and holding properties there as well. Another area is Pleasant Grove, which is southwest of downtown. That has always been a good area, not only for buy and hold properties, but you'll get some good appreciation and possibly being able to, if you come out of rental and you decided you wanted to sell it, retail with a little extra effort, you probably get a nice return on your investment with a property in Pleasant Grove.
Do you mind if we dig into some of those areas real quick and just kind of give some kind of basic idea? So let's talk, you said Center Point first. What is the age of the home people are buying? Who typically lives there? What do those homes rent for? And maybe Center Point and Pinson, that whole corridor.
Okay. Typically, the houses are going to be 1950 or newer. We usually, I think the sweet spot is between 1100 and 1200 square feet, three bedroom, one bath, up to four twos. Typically, on a 3-1, we do a very high level renovation. So when we hand off a property GK, it's as close to maintenance free as it possibly will be. rents on a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. We are right now averaging about $900 a month. The 3-2s, we're getting about $1,000 a month. And on our 4-2s, we're getting between $1,150 and $1,225 per month.
Is this, is this private pay or Section 8?
Section 8. And that's the other thing. I will tell you, because of what's happened now with this pandemic and a mastermind that I belong to, a national one, there's a couple of concerns that people have. Everyone's concerned about getting their rents. And for us, we stress test the business every quarter, not just the business as a whole, but our rental properties. And our own personal rental portfolio, about 65-66% comes from Section 8. Well, I would let me back up. 95% of our properties that we own and we sell turnkey are with Section 8 tenants. The properties that we own, there's a portion of in which tenants pay, and then the bulk of it is paid by Section 8. That bulk equates to about 65-66%. So since we have, you know, our lenders, if all of our tenants stop paying their small portion of the rent, we can cover our note obligations with the amount of money that we receive directly from Section 8, a direct deposit into our bank accounts. So we've hedged to make sure that in this downtime, in these challenging times, that we're still getting the bulk of our rent and that we can still meet our note obligation. And last week, I reached out to all of our tenants, called them personally, and, you know, out of all of our properties, there's only 3 that are struggling to pay the rent. Everyone else has already paid their April rent. So we're operating about 87% of rent paid through April. So the majority of, going back to your question, private pay versus Section 8, the majority of them are going to be Section 8 tenants. We prefer it. We're not chasing for rents. They stay in the properties. We have tenants in properties that have been there for longer than 5 years. They're not looking to move. If you treat them with respect, you take care of them, you treat them like family, they will take care of the property.
Talk a little bit about Southeast Lake. What are you seeing in Southeast Lake? What are the rents? Who's living there?
Right. Again, mostly Section 8 participants. On you're seeing on a 3-1. Well, we even have a couple of 2-1s there where we're getting $650 to $700 a month rent. On the 3-1s, we're probably averaging about $750 to $770. On the 3-2s, more like $8 to $850. We don't really get many 4-2s in the area, but if we do, it'd probably be somewhere between, well, I have a 4-1.5. I'm getting $978 on that one. So the difference between Centerpoint and Eastlake is Centerpoint is more of a B-class type asset. Eastlake is C-class across the board, which means that you're getting properties at a lower price point. The rehab is going to be about the same. You're getting a little bit, maybe $50 less in rent, but you get a higher return, a higher cash flow, a higher cap rate on properties in Eastlake. The difference between the two is Centerpoint. Now you can get some appreciation, although as a cash flow proponent or someone who's just focusing on long-term passive income, it's nice to have, but that's not the driving factor. It's the cash flow. But Centerpoint, you can get somewhat of appreciation on some of these properties. Some properties we've sold using a 1% rule, they've appraised $5,000 to $8,000 above our asking price. Now, Eastlake is pure cash flow. You're not really going to get appreciation as much in that area. So on a property, for example, that we would sell in Centerpoint, $850 a month rent, we'll sell it for $85,000. That same property in Centerpoint for $850 will probably appraise somewhere between $55,000 and $65,000. So you get a higher return if you have a turnkey provider who is offering properties in a C-class area.
And Southeast Lake is also kind of an older neighborhood. So Centerpoint was built post-50s. A lot of Southeast Lake, it was built in the 50s, generally speaking. So you just get a little bit older house, a little bit different setup. All right, let's just jump down to Hueytown and Pleasant Grove. And then Bessemer, you mentioned this is kind of the area in the southwestern part of town that's near the new Amazon Fulfillment Center. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what somebody can expect to see in terms of rental rates and cost to buy a home there.
Right. Bessemer is very similar to the Southeast Lake area, Hueytown. So Bessemer, you're going to get still a lot of Section 8 tenants. It's interesting because I ran the numbers of sold properties to cash buyers in the last 6 months, other than CenterPoint, 175 properties were bought in the Bessemer area.
Wow.
Which I found really interesting. And I think part of that is driven just by, you know, Amazon Fulfillment Center being there. Rents are going to be very similar to Eastlake. We're talking, you know, from $700 to, you know, $900. It, as you said, Matthew, the difference between there and, you know, CenterPoint is that, you know, Bessemer is a slightly older area. We picked up properties that, you know, in the 1930s and 1940s. We don't really like to go older than 1930. Then you just get into a lot of, you know, structural areas, just properties that just need way too much effort. And there's just no return on investment for going after those properties. Hueytown is more of a B class area. I like Hueytown a lot because you really get good assets. You're not going to get as many Section 8 tenants. You're going to get a lot of private pay tenants. A lot of blue collar, white collar folks are going to be in the Hueytown area. You could have, you know, tenants who are working at the Amazon Fulfillment Center, and you're going to get a little bit higher rents, I think, in those areas. You're going to get, you know, typically around anywhere from 900 to around 1300 on rents from 3.2s to 4.2s. Most of those houses are, you know, typically from 1945 to 1975, and they're typically 1,000 square feet or bigger. A lot of them are brick, which we like. Anytime I can buy a brick house, I'm always happy to do that. So Hueytown is a really good area for private pay, blue collar, you know, white collar folks who want to be close to downtown, but, you know, don't have the ability to buy a place in, you know, an A-class area like Hoover, which is literally right next to Hueytown.
Talk about some areas people you would think should stick away from, stay away from these areas.
Your do not buy list.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We pick up a lot of properties. Well, I wouldn't say a lot. Let me preface this by saying on a weekly basis, I get 25 to 40 properties from wholesalers. On a monthly basis, I may buy two or three from them. The majority of them are selling in the lower income, the war zone, the D-class areas where we just don't buy. Now, that would be Emsley, Wylam, the Central Park area, and I'm not talking New York. This is just south of downtown. Those are really dodgy areas. Now, some investors like it because they can get really great returns. You can pick up properties incredibly cheap. But when you look strategically at an area like that, you're not going to get cash flow. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to get cash flow, but you're not going to get appreciation.
Right.
It's going to be a challenge getting tenants into those properties. The rents are going to be a lot less. So let's say on the 3-1 in Ensley, you know, you're probably around 650, maybe 700 for what I see. Maybe you guys are, you know, see differently in those markets. Security issues, putting security doors on the properties. We recently had one property where we had a brand new HVAC that was stolen out of the security cage. And so, and that doesn't happen in the other areas in which we buy in. But Ensley, it's a constant security issue. It's hard to get those good tenants in those properties, lower rents. And, you know, you're going to be into the property for probably about the same amount of money as if you were purchasing in Southeast Lake or in Bessemer. So I do occasionally like Fairfield, but Fairfield, the city is in bankruptcy. I don't know if they've come out of it, but they've been bankruptcy for quite a bit of time. I was actually this morning before we jumped on a call, I was looking at a property in Fairfield and it was metal roof and it was brick and it was a 3-2 and he wanted, you know, $38,000 for it. From what I look at the photos, it probably needed about $15,000-$20,000. The problem is it's worth maybe about $50,000. So the problem with an area in a war zone or D-class area is by the time you're done renovating the property, you're going to be into it for full market value. And for us as an investor, that does not fit our buy box.
Yeah, I think this gets back to the importance of people coming here and seeing all of these areas for themselves, seeing what we're talking about as a D-class, C-class, mm-hmm. B-class. and just laying eyes on it. I think it coming here is worth the proverbial picture worth a thousand words, and coming and taking a look and driving around these streets, super important. Yeah.
And understanding their risk tolerance, like we talked about before. Like, because I field a lot of calls from investors who are like, hey, I found this house and, you know, it's in the worst part of West End. And they're like, what do you think?
Yeah, they can't believe it's so cheap.
Yeah.
I can buy a house for $12,000. Certainly I can make money with it.
Yeah. Here we are on this Tudor Road. What, you know, do you manage?
Yeah. So,
we manage. But what you have to understand is this is a high risk property, like high risk. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many investors I've seen lose money on these deals that they thought were just a sure thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you that all of our turnkey buyers, when they come to Birmingham, you know, we take them out. I usually show them in a day, 8 to 10 properties. We show them properties we've just acquired that we haven't yet started renovations. And then they see properties under renovations. They can kind of see the crew and the mess, which is always fun. And also see, you know, we have a project manager and then Jeff is out at the properties. And then we show them finished properties. We can't take them in tenant occupied properties, but we do drive-bys. But if we have properties that are rent ready or ready to go on the market for sale, we take them out to those properties. So that's typically a whole day. And then typically I try to have them set up a meeting with you guys to come meet. I then try to get them, they usually will meet with a closing attorney. And then I give them on the tour of downtown. So they get the big picture. And typically I tell investors, you know, you want to spend about a full day and a half in Birmingham to kind of get the big picture. We also take them to our office so they can see that we actually have an office here in Birmingham. The second point is that there are a lot of investors when I do sell them turnkey properties, then they're looking at some of these lower end assets. I said, those really are for local investors, guys in the market like us who are experienced, they know these areas. And a lot of those neighborhoods, it's really street by street. It's not like it could be a great property. I mean, I saw a property in Crestwood. I mean, the numbers made sense. It was a great property. It was going to be a retail flip. A wholesaler brought me the property, but I went to visit it. The street was awful. I mean, there was no pride of ownership. It was near the railroad tracks, which is another issue, but all the other streets were perfect. And it was because of that one street, I had a pass on the property. So going back to our turnkey buyers, a lot of them, I do caution them that, you know, you kind of, when they're looking at some of these C-class properties, that we don't really sell C-class properties to investors. We just don't. It's higher risk. Now, we all know that we had one investor from out of the country that I think I brought to you guys about a year ago.
But you warned him. You know, you warned him.
Yes. And that's what I tell him. You know, he came from South Africa and super nice guy. And he wanted to buy C-class properties. He saw the returns. I said, here are the recommended rents, what I think that you can get for them. I sold him 10 houses. I just brokered the deals. I put him in touch with a few handyman. I said, these are not guys on our crews, but if you want, here's some guys that, you know, you might want to use. And he had some real challenges getting those properties not only finished, but rented. And I think last time I talked to him, I think he had about 5 rented. He didn't hit all his rental numbers that he thought he would. He had 2 that were broken into, and one, it was just a complete disaster. And then I think the rest were just vacant. And he came to me and he said, maybe I should just sell them. And of course, as a broker, thinking, oh, I can earn a commission, I just told him, I said, no, you've got to really just charge through this. You know, you've committed to getting this done. I mean, you've got to look at the long game. Get them, finish your renovations, get them tenant occupied and hold on to them for the next 5 or 10 years. You'll be fine once we're finished. But he took a risk and, you know, now he saw the reality of it. You know, I don't know if he still has the properties, but I cautioned him from day one that you really need to stay away from these areas. But, you know, he went against my recommendation and, you know, and that's what happens.
Talk a little bit about what somebody, if somebody wanted to start buying from a turnkey provider like you, what type of cash do they need? Are most of your investors financing a portion? What's typical? And you've been doing this a long time. What are the most successful buyers doing from a financing standpoint?
And typically, every one of them are financing. They're using Fannie Mae. They're usually getting anywhere I've seen their rates as low as 4% and as high as maybe 5.25%, typically 20% down. Traditional closing, like any other property you would buy that you were going to occupy yourself. You know, a lot of them are using those Fannie Mae slots. You get up to 10 properties in the investment properties, and they've really been taking advantage of those. We've had a couple of 1031 exchanges. There's a lot of them who are using their retirement funds, their 401k and IRA. And so there's a lot of companies out there that they use in which they advise them on purchasing a turnkey property. But the majority of them, pretty much all of them, are financing.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for just spending some time with us, giving us some education. I mean, I know I learned some things today. You've been doing this for a long time. So if any of our listeners out there wanted to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
They could email me. It's jonathan@reitrader.com, jonathan@reitrader.com. My cell phone, they can certainly call me if they want to, 205-924-5045, and you can certainly reach me through you guys as well. Our website is reitrader.com. We do post properties, turnkey properties there as well. So if they want to get on our email list to receive turnkey properties, we are going to be releasing several, I think, later this week, early next week. For us, it's always first come, first serve. We have repeat buyers who, you know, bought from us continuously, and they... Some of them like to have a short list. We don't do that. So most every turnkey property that we do sell usually goes on the contract within 24 to 48 hours, especially now that the economy is shifting into a bear market. This is the absolute best time to acquire turnkey properties. Passive income in a bear market is king.
Awesome.
This has been awesome, Jonathan. Thank you so much for your time. I know people will learn a bunch about this. And again, I applaud you for much success here in Birmingham over these last 9 or so years since you've been here.
Great. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate it. Appreciate everything you guys are doing, and appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today.
Well, great. So if you are listening, you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get your podcast, and we will see you on our next episode.